Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Excuse me one second. Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn that off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clap Back Sports. We certainly been doing some clapping back this week after this week's 2021 NFL draft. But before we get into it, Tino, how you doing, Tino? I haven't talked to you, Tino, in quite some time. We talked very little bit after the draft, so I don't even know where your head is at, how you feel about these, but what's up, man?
I like the draft as a whole. I was surprised a majority of it. I don't want to ruin the episode. So you gave me a question to unpack there. I'm going to save my thoughts. I kind of know how you feel. I know me and Murph feel a certain type of way that you don't exactly feel when it comes to a particular pick. We'll get to it, but I'm doing well. My voice is shot. It's been a long last couple, 3 days. The draft is over, but we have plenty of content to talk about and a lot of new Giants to talk about. So I'm excited about it. And the Mets just blew their 5-2 lead in the third inning. It's 5-5 now, so not so great. I was doing better like 10 minutes ago, but whatever.
Well, certainly last night they needed a little bit of help from Lady Luck as well, so.
Yeah, Lady Luck. Edwin Diaz needs to go on the IL and disappear like Patanzas and just stay there for the rest of eternity.
Murph, my tag team partner. We've been going at some people in the fantasy community today, but Murph, how are you, man?
My man. We've been snapping next, you know, clapping back like we do best. I'm good, man. Feels like Christmas is over. We're in that waiting period. Next week's New Year's got the schedule released. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm ready to get this episode in because it's been a long time since we've had some good shit. So let's rock.
Time to take care of the money part of the episode. Make sure you follow us at clapback_sports. Also follow us on Instagram, where we have a new intern who's been taking care of the Instagram. So make sure you check that out. Give us some love over there as well. Show them that they're doing such a good job. Follow Tino at Tino Rodriguez, _ at the end. Murph is Clapback Sports. And then follow me at Demage, _NFL. Follow our YouTube, Tino's YouTube, and I at Woody Ashay. And while you're at it, you know what? If you do want some fantasy football material without all the analytics, follow the FF shop as well. That's it. I'm done with the money-making episode. Tino, I proposed a question to you. I'm not going to do it again.
Don't worry about it. I do want to propose this question to you guys. Before we get into the players, I want to talk about an elephant in the room. Because it's very easy for us to dissect these players, go round by round, which we will do. Talk about Tony taking in the first round. But let's talk about this. Gettleman, Mr. No Trade Back, not only traded back in the first round, but then did it again and then traded up, okay? I don't even want to dissect the details of it. Wasn't that already just like, what the fuck is going on in this draft? Like, it was one thing that he did it the first time. Three times we were involved in action. It was very un-Giants-like. I still feel that's what I feel most confused about. I love what we did. But it's just so out of character. Like, I did not see it coming at all, guys.
Tino, I'm going to take this one because I've been thinking about this, and I've actually said this offline as well. You don't think that people in the organization pay attention to what the fans have to say? I mean, literally, Dave Gettleman trading back is like the equivalent of him trolling, you know, people on Twitter. I mean, he's basically, hey, look, I never traded back at all. Hey, you know what, guys? I'm going to do it in the first round. You know what? I'm going to do it again in the second round. Like
him doing it in the second round, I was like, wait, he's actually a genius. Like, I was just like, wait, this is so correct. This is such the right move. It was like baffling to me. I was like, holy shit.
But I also want to say this, though, too, Tino. I mean, Dave Gettleman has been the GM for the New York Giants as he's going on his fourth draft. Did the opportunity really present itself during the previous three drafts, despite what fans might think? I know the second overall pick, you trade back positional value. Saquon Barkley was the best player in that draft. whether we all are in some agreement that there was a director from Mara, but took the best player in the draft in 2019 with the sixth pick. He went and got his quarterback. Could he have traded back at 17? Possibly. I don't know. And then last year, with the fourth overall pick, this team needed a left tackle badly. He had first shot at taking the first tackle, and he took Andrew Thomas. So is this the first year? This is the first year we're not picking the top 10. They actually present an opportunity for him to trade back.
Well, look, and this is what I love about it too, because a lot of people don't look at this part of football, and it's very easy to say, like, oh, last year doesn't count. College football season last year was a lot of, you know, fugaz. I mean, the top dogs really had the benefit of it, and that's why it worked out that way. There are still spring seasons going on, FCS guys. There are some lower level, non-big D1, you know, schools that have talent that didn't come out this year. I think next year is going to be a very good class to be a part of. We have two firsts, two thirds, two fourths, got a second. I mean, I feel great about that. Let's go with that, guys. Which one did you like better? The first trade back, the second trade back, or the trade up?
I mean, it's got to be first round for me, man. I mean, we'll get into the pick and everything, but for me, it's like we added a wide receiver and a first round pick and replaced Golden Tate. I mean, it's literally couldn't have gotten better for me first round. I mean, I thought we were going to pay there, but I'm very happy. I'm far from sold on Tony, but like you had mentioned before, we've both seen some things we like. But I mean, dude, we added a first round pick and the Bears have the third hardest schedule in the NFL. Like, we are going to be rooting against the Bears all next year, which is going to make the season that much more fun too. Like, yeah, we're Giants fans, but we're also going to be watching a lot of Bears football.
The other point I want to mention about the trade back is that fans are still talking about we passed on Devonta Smith. I don't know if many people were intoxicated, weren't watching, but Devonta Smith went 10th overall. Giants never had a chance to draft him. The Philadelphia Eagles traded up with the Dallas Cowboys to grab him. So the Giants didn't pass on Devonta Smith. They never had an opportunity to draft him. Unless you're talking about they should have traded ahead of the Eagles, that wasn't going to happen either. Dave Gettleman would have been crucified for trading up in that situation. So I agree with Murphy here. Tino, your thoughts on the trade back?
I think for me, what I'm trying to get at in my head is that we had Parsons and Slater available at that spot. And I feel like when we did the mock and we were talking about stuff on the show, I was talking about how like we might be in a situation where we can really get a guy that a lot of us are viewing we can get. And with those options still on the table, they didn't do it and they decided to trade back. The cool thing about this too is I'm a big Justin Fields fan, so I'm very kind of like low key excited to the fact that the Giants are tied to him throughout his career. So I hope he kind of succeeds, just not next year. So this way we get a better pick. But Slater, Parsons on the board, didn't go with it. I was surprised about Parsons, but you know what? That speaks volumes. Because I was telling you guys, our coaching staff would know probably what's going on with him best. Like, I feel like we'd have a really good ear to it. The fact that they still passed on him was pretty shocking to me, actually. I mean, that's to me, it showed me that there's more than, you know, that's out there right now. But so we trade back. And then I guess if you guys want to get into Tony, we can get into Tony. I just want to, before we talk about the player, just talk about the fact that he is a first round talent. He was projected to go in the first round and it was not that big of a reach. He went earlier than expected. It was not a reach. In my opinion, I had him at 27 of the Ravens. He went at 20, guys.
All right, before we go that far, I kind of want to touch on your point, though, too, with Parsons, because for me, the biggest surprise was Slater. Because all we really heard, there was a lot of feelers out there saying, you know, a lot of teams like Slater over Sewell, which I never really believed that. We all knew Sewell was the guy. But does it speak more volumes about Slater being there and us passing, or does it speak more volumes about the Giants having trust in this line? And as days go by, weeks go by, as months go by, I think it's more of the latter with this team, man. But obviously, we'll get into that part here later on when we evaluate the roster.
Before you go into Tony, I want to talk about it, though.
Yeah.
There was one thing that Dave Gettleman was adamant about in his pressers. That with two players that you guys are talking about, they have one thing in common. What is that, Tino?
Well, are you getting at the fact that Dave Gettleman talked about he needed playmakers? We needed guys that were going to be sparks on this team and do things. And that's why I'm behind Tony. I don't know what you were getting at.
Teacher, hands up.
Murph got it, Murph.
Opt-outs?
Bingo.
I wasn't sure about Slater, but yeah.
They both opted out of 2020. Was that the reason that Dave Gettleman passed on him? He said it. He had concerns about guys that didn't play last year. All right, fine. You get to Kadarius Toney. He did play last year. He just didn't really play a whole lot the previous years. But I think when it came down to the trade down situation, Tino, it's a really good question.
See, but like, just to even get in there, the reason Toney didn't play the years before is because people have to realize what we're looking at with Toney.
Before we get to Toney,
I want to already get into his playing time because that was the first thing that I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to murder
him. I just want to end on this note in terms of the trade back, but do we really think that's why Dave Gettleman passed on Parsons and Slater, two guys that we said that we really thought that they were in love with, guys that we were in love with, both were opt-outs last year. It sounds like Dave Gettleman was pretty dead-ass serious.
I think it's super likely.
I mean, you make a great point, Mage, because honestly, I haven't really even thought about it like that. But, I mean, this is a weird situation why it brings me back to this. But do you guys remember when Le'Veon Bell sat out for an entire year? And everyone's like, he's going to be fine. He's going to come back. He's going to dominate. He's going to be the same Le'Veon Bell. Football is not like that, man. You don't just, like, not play the sport. You can work out as much as you want. You can lift as many weights as you want, do as much agility training as you want. But if you are not physically on a football field and you are not getting hit and playing the game of football from both a mental and physical standpoint, I just don't see it. So you're really kind of onto something here, man.
Who were the two guys that were highest on their board, Murph?
Probably Waddle and Devontae, right? Or Sewell?
Did they play in 2020?
I mean, Sewell was, in my opinion, probably their number one.
I'm talking about Devontae and Waddle.
Right, yes.
I do think, though, to this point, though, what we're saying here, I do think they would have made an exception to Sewell, obviously.
I think they would have made an exception to Sewell for the O-line standpoint, possibly maybe for Jamar Chase. But, again, like, dude, we're a well-oiled machine now here in New York. I don't give a shit what anyone says. And, like, they're not going to wait for anyone. So they want these guys to be able to step right in. And you're going to be behind if you can't. If you're out of shape, you're going to be behind. You're already not getting the job, whether you're first-round pick or seventh-round pick, so it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, dude, this team wants to roll now. Joe Judge wants now. There's no waiting.
A lot of fans can be upset by the fact that we passed on Parsons and even Slater for that matter, but I'm telling you, I really do think it had to do with the opt-outs. I think Dave Gettleman was dead serious about what he said about guys sitting out for the entire year, being in football shape. And he traded back. And look, guys, I mean, hopefully the Bears stink this year. If they do, that means the Giants could potentially have a pick inside the top five or top 10 next year.
The Bears are going to stink.
That doesn't belong to them. So that's going to be it. Look, if the offensive line doesn't get fixed this year, if it doesn't work this year, you have two first rounders next year, which you can use on offensive line if you want. I think a lot of fans right now are talking about saving that draft capital and trading it for a quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. We've said it here on this podcast. No matter how Daniel Jones plays this year, Daniel Jones is a New York Giant for at least the next 10 years.
If that wasn't the case, they would have drafted Justin Fields. Seriously. I mean, they had it on their lap. And that was a hot take. And it was on, like, First Take, and people wanted to talk about it. It was a shitty take. It was a very stupid question to ask, but I know they got asked a question. But I think the Giants, like you were saying, with the comfortability of the offensive line, they're comfortable with where they're at with Danny as well. And I think that also spoke wonders with them trading back in that situation too. I think we all knew it, but, I mean, that's what that said.
Well, and even Danny's play aside, this roster has been formed around Danny's contract. So – yeah, I know we don't want to do this, but we can – the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, just even from a – just take Aaron Rodgers out. The fucking contract's 22 mil as it is. So, like, we've built this roster in a way to have a rookie quarterback as our leader here, right? No, like, we were able to spend. So you kind of got to think even further than Danny's just development. We all know that that has to happen.
Look, they gave all those weapons this year to Danny, or for Danny to succeed, not to bring in another quarterback. And before we get into the hot topic on the room, I just want to ask you guys this question, because a buddy of mine is an Eagles fan, but the Eagles trading up, first of all, they were at 6, traded back to 12, then traded up to 10. The whole room is a disaster, but the Eagles trading up and then taking Devonta Smith instead of taking Rashawn Slater or even Justin Fields. What is up with the Eagles, man? Have they become a completely dysfunctional franchise?
No, it's the same fucking thing it's always been, bro. Yep. Always a horrible GM. It's just they got a luck of faith or a run of faith. And, like, dude, Howie's always been really, really, really bad. They beat us from on the field, but, like, from a general manager standpoint, he has been, like, a pretty damn bad GM for his whole time. And I'm trying to look it up right now. I want to know how many picks they've traded away in the last 5 years, because I can already name 3 off the top of my head, just in Darius Slay, Golden Tate, and Devontae Smith as it is. I mean, this is the same old Eagles to me, man. The desperation reeks.
Why do they keep drafting receivers? That's all I had to say. Why do they? I made the joke. It's a running joke. Just like, yeah, just let them keep drafting them. They'll get one right eventually, right? It's like, dude, like, give up. Give up already. Like, I know you got to fix the problem, but they got a lot of other problems. I was surprised. I feel like they could have went Parsons too. Like, they really could have went Slater. They could have went Parsons. Like, they need help everywhere. I mean, I'm sure they were eyeing a corner. I think that's another underlining thing. J.C. Horn, I talked to you guys about it. He was flying up boards. He ended up being the first corner taken. I wasn't that surprised because I heard the buzz, but that was pretty wild. And I think it changed a lot of things for especially the teams in the NFC East. Cowboys wanted Surtain. It then made Denver go Surtain. And speaking of Denver, wild that they passed on Justin Fields too, which definitely just indicates they're in Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes 100%. And the way they drafted to me just made it seem like they're trying to get in on Aaron Rodgers. But there was a lot of storylines to even, dive into. What are we going to talk about, Tony? When do you want to talk about it, guys?
Let's go. Go ahead, Tina.
He was a utility player his first 3 seasons in Florida. He was a quarterback and a running back. That's why he didn't have time. But they convert him to a full-time receiver. And by the way, again, you guys know I love guys who have been in colleges, good college programs for 4 steady years, improvements throughout his entire career. Dude, his scrimmage yards, 9.4 when he was a freshman, 10.9, 11.5, 12.9. The guy moves the chains per clip for a fucking living. He can do everything we need that we were trying to force Evan Engram to do last year and look terrible at doing. The reverses, the bullshit fucking jet sweeps, anything, returns. I know we don't want him to return right away. He's going to. They're going to find a way to get him on the field. If that's the easiest way with our, if we decide to go 2 tight end sets, it's what we're going to do. But, dude, I love the speed and the big play potential this guy adds to our team. And he also doesn't get tackled. I don't have his broken tackle numbers. I know those were silly too, right? I think like he had 80 catches, like 80 catches. He broke like 40, 50, 60 tackle, whatever the fuck it was. Ridiculous. Put on his tape and just see it for yourself. But I love everything that this kid brings to the table. And it wasn't what I expected, but I'm excited about it, man. I'm really excited about what Tony could do for us.
I seriously just don't understand the outrage, man. I mean, all we did all offseason was obsess over Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. And I look at Kadarius Toney, who I'll be the first to tell you was not on my radar either, probably around the 5-6 spot on the wide receiver board for me. But, you look at the kid's tape and he's almost like a blend of everything we've been asking for. He's got speed. He does a lot of different things on offense. You can line him up anywhere. You can line him up in the backfield. He's going to take snaps for us. I don't care what anyone says. But the whole knock is, since he's not a true wide receiver one, it's a bad pick and it's a reach for the Giants. Anyone who says that did not watch any Giants football last year. The one thing that we need the most on this offense is complete speed. And we use fucking Evan Engram as our speed guy. Kadarius Toney ran a 4.37. What would he run? I think Odell was a 4.
Right there. He was faster than Odell. He was faster.
Yeah, he was faster than Odell. But I know Engram and Odell were similar. But regardless, everything that Ingram was trying to be or being tried to be made into last year, those are Tony snaps now, man. Tony snaps. I mean, and, it's true. Murph,
let's get into this part of it. Again, I say quarterback, running back is how he started out. Receiver, everyone's shitting on Devonta Booker all offseason, right? Everyone, every Giant fan hates Devonta Booker. His contract, no one understands it. Well, guess what? This is almost an insurance policy on that too. Because if you think, and I promise you, again, put on Tony's tape, the amount of time Florida motioned Tony from the slot into the backfield and went across on a zone read, which he scored on, some of his more impressive plays were on these handoffs. He's going to be a spellback at times for us. The kick and do it all is going to be very Tariq Cohen-esque, and I think that's very nice for this offense.
And also, before you go, Mish.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. You cut me off so far all 20 minutes. Okay.
No, I don't even know what I was going to say, Mish. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm disappointed in both of you because the one thing that you didn't mention about Kadarius Toney is the fact that little noodle-armed Daniel Jones, we don't have to worry about it anymore because Kadarius Toney can throw an 80-yard bomb if we need him to. So he was a quarterback as well. But you guys know how I feel about this. I've said it on this podcast. I've said it all along. What's my terminology? Diversified skill sets. I said the same exact thing with
terminology is usually availability is, or availability is best availability.
The best ability is availability.
Yes.
Thank you, Tino.
Something like that.
Loves me just to get it wrong. But anyway.
Go on, Princess.
Thank you. My whole thing about Jalen Waddle was diversified skill sets, right? You have a guy like Kenny Golladay, 6'4 receiver, requires double teams, can make contested catches. You can use John Ross. You could use Darius Slayton outside, spread the defense. Use Jalen Waddle underneath. The one thing about this guy, Kadarius Toney, that's different than Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle ran a 4.37. Kadarius Toney ran a 4.39. Holy shit. It requires an entire football team to take this guy down. He does not go down easily. Look, the man has no eyebrows. You don't try and tackle a guy with no eyebrows. They don't give a shit.
His body balance is insane on the field, man. I mean, it's for his size.
But, and now, I mean, we talked about what we liked about Kadarius Toney, but it now begs the question, do you like where we took Kadarius Toney? Tino?
I don't mind it because now hindsight's 20/20, but we talked about here now, what would we have done in that pick? We all probably ideally are looking at the board. It's got to be Quiddy Pay, right? You're thinking it's got to be Quiddy Pay, got to be Quiddy Pay. If you look me in the face, if you told me before the draft in any of our mocks, the Giants are going to trade back, and at fucking 50, Aziz is going to fall to them, I'd call you crazy. Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Tony. The fact that Aziz fell that far is an absolute robbery, a robbery. So where we took him, you know, other people were on the board. I think Bateman would have been a more outside guy, and even though he was available, I don't know if fits this team's skill set the best, especially when you think about where Ingram would have to play then because he's an outside the numbers guy. But I'd rather Aziz and Quiddy Pay any day. Any day. And I'm so glad that we addressed edge with that next pick.
So for me, you guys knew I was a big Rondell Moore guy. And I was petrified that we were playing with fire waiting until the second round, man. And, yeah, Bateman would have been nice. But to me, we already have that kind of receiver mold in Slayton and Golladay. I would have been fucking pissed if we waited until 50 and then Arizona snagged Rondell Moore right in front of us at 49. I would have been fucking raging because we would have been really only left with Terrence Marshall. I like Terrence Marshall a lot, but he is probably a little bit more the mold of Slayton and Golladay as well. He's not the speedster demon that we're looking for. He's not really the gadget type player. So at that point, you would only really be looking at an Atwell or an Eskridge. And, you know, I think for what we wanted to do from a Waddle and Devontae Smith standpoint, I think Tony was kind of that next option, right?
But here's my thing to you guys. And Mage, feel free to jump in as well. But here's the more surprising part of all of this. And I already scratched my head on day three about it. But we haven't even mentioned how this was a deep offensive line class. And we mentioned it briefly that they showed confidence in this offensive line. But the story of the first 2 days of the draft was that, holy shit, the Giants believe in the offensive players they drafted last year and the guys that they have. Because we did not address offensive line. in either of the first two rounds. And I mean, my takeaway was just, you know, I didn't see that confidence level. I didn't know that, you know, they believed in their guys from last year as much as they do. And, you know, this is what we're riding with. It still makes me super fucking nervous, but like, you know, edge aside, receiver aside, I still was team offensive line, and you guys know that. So I think my takeaway of the first two rounds was just that we didn't address O-line. And that was really my takeaway from the entire draft. Like, I mean, we can casually look past it now, but I mean, it was a concern for us to address in this draft, and we didn't necessarily do it.
I'm with you, Tino. I thought that they would eventually address offensive line as well. It was a little bit of a surprise to me. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but we took Aaron Robinson over Ben Cleveland, didn't we?
We traded up. We traded up for Robinson, yes. And we bypassed Ben Cleveland.
So, I mean, I kept saying as the draft kept going on, right? I'm kind of like being a little bit of a homer, but I'm like, all right, Kadarius Toney. All right, not too bad. I've heard a guy. I know a lot of people like him. They think that he could be pretty special. We got the additional first round pick. I was a little surprised. I'm like, Rashad Bateman's on the board. Why are we taking Toney? I was with you. I thought maybe Quiddy Pay might be the pick. I thought maybe the Giants might take Quiddy Pay at 11, get him at 20, and get the additional first. Great. I like the fact that the Giants stuck to their guns, though, and they knew what they wanted to get heading into this draft class. But the one thing that I've also said as well, Kadarius Toney, Aaron Robinson, Olujari, they all have speed, man. The Giants want to build this team with athleticism and to be fast as fuck.
Yep.
So that's what they target with all their draft picks. So at 20, I'm kind of with you. I was like, man, I don't. Where do we go here? Then we passed completely. I get at that point. There was no offensive lineman really were taken, especially that I favored interior offensive line. So then I said, all right, so second round, we'll draft Landon Dickerson. You know, I still want Landon Dickerson. Eagles took Landon Dickerson. I'm like, all right, fine then. So then we trade back from 42 to 50. I'm cool with that. Oh, shit. Olujari is still on the board. This is great. I hope we take Olujari. Get it. Took him. I'm like, all right, boom, this draft is perfect. Third round. All right, you know what? Give me Miners or no, give me Ben Cleveland instead. We traded up, took Aaron Robinson. Now I'm looking for somebody to draft in the fourth round that has offensive line attached to their name. So and I wanted the guy out of Penn State. What's his name? Manea?
And yeah, but let's put it this way too, guys, that I mean, when we traded up in the third round, no part of me was thinking we just traded up for a corner, you know, like I granted, I don't really know. Let me look at the board here. And you were right. Cleveland went way later in the first, third round.
Freaking Ravens who just seemed to like, they took Ben Mason also took Ben Cleveland. They just, whatever.
I thought the Chiefs killed it too.
So I'm going to take a little different route here. Yes. We all kind of knew we were linked to Dickerson. I knew he wasn't going to make it because just looking at Atlanta, Miami, shit, the team that I didn't think was going to take him took him, honestly. I figured he wasn't going to make it past either the Dolphins, the Bengals, shit, maybe even the Jets. But looking at the board now, something tells me that they were probably looking at the two Notre Dame boys, Jackson Carmine, and Ojulari was just sitting there when their pick came up because – there was a run of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 O-linemen before our pick in the second round.
You guys understand what Aziz, like, we literally got our edge.
Oh, right? It's fucking awesome. I mean, I'm not complaining. I really think they were targeting
O-line. I'm hyped for Toney because I have to be, but, like, the running joke is, like, everyone that bitches about Toney and realize, like, all they have to do to realize is that we flipped the picks. And then it just makes total sense and no one would bitch about it. The fact that we got Aziz at 50 is fucking ridiculous. And so I'm jazzed up about that. Our defense.
Well, it's crazy because he dropped.
Oh my God, dude, our defense is going to be ridiculous. We talked about that too, guys, that we that was my Parsons take and why I felt like taking him in the first was fine. Building on our strength, dude. I mean, we really built on our strength this draft.
It's crazy that a knee injury from high school is what made Ojulari slide that hard. I mean, Duggan went and looked into it pretty hard from what I could read, and it was literally a torn ACL in high school. So, I mean, it seems like he's held up pretty well his 4 years at Georgia, 3 years at Georgia. But let's talk about the edge position a little bit, man. I mean, the fucking rim's loaded, dude. Loaded. And it tells me that they had to take Ojulari there at 50 because the value was just too insane. But for them to go Ellerson again later on kind of tells me that they definitely had some eyes on some other linemen earlier on. But like you said, sharpen iron with some more iron. Just make strength more strong. And I'm kind of just at the point in the O or the edge room where it's like, dude, what the hell? What's going on here? What's going on? I mean, I think I counted 10 bodies, 9 or 10 bodies. You know, maybe, I think it might have been Mage, but I was talking to someone this morning. Maybe you can slide Cam Brown into an inside linebacker role. But, I mean, we're pretty heavy on that edge, and there's only going to be so many reps. So, X-Men and Zoe, I don't know if they're going to make it through.
Hot seat, for sure. No, they got to be on the hot seat. Well, like we talked about confidence with the offensive line. It's like that shows their confidence in these guys that they've also taken in years past and where they're at with it. What's up, Mage?
Finish. I just want to, before Murph could cut me off again, because I had a point from what you said before.
No, go ahead. I want to hear it. I do want to hear it. No,
but I wanted to agree with your point before about I think that the weakest part of this team right now is offensive line. Aside from that, we went in. We had a couple holes at edge. We had a couple holes on the offensive line. Murph was on the cornerback train. So I think that the Giants walked out of here. The Giants walked out of here with two edge guys, two cornerbacks, a running back, and a wide receiver. Everything that we said that we could use, we got, aside from offensive line. It's the only hole. But to Murph's point, I did go through the entire roster the other day. So I just want to put this on the podcast here. So here's how the Giants roster currently stands. 93 people on the roster. We have 4 quarterbacks, 5 running backs, 2 fullbacks, 12 wide receivers, 8 tight ends, 6 offensive tackles, 5 offensive guards, 4 centers, 3 defensive tackles, 7 defensive ends, 9 outside linebackers, that also includes Ojulari and Smith, 6 inside linebackers, 13 cornerbacks, 4 safeties, 2 punters, 1 kicker, and 2 long snappers. So, I mean, if you look at where the Giants are heavily invested, it's at wide receiver and cornerback.
I expect both those rooms to shrink, obviously.
What was that, Murph?
What was that?
I expect both those rooms to shrink.
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, the roster is only.
So let's talk a little bit of odd man out then.
Well, I went through this the other day. I gave you guys, a list of about 23 people? I forget who
it even. I don't know the number, but yes.
Let me see if I can find it. I don't think I kept it, but. Yeah, I mean, you can honestly go down the list. I don't have it. But this, I mean, you have so many guys that you could cut, even a halfback. I mean, who's the new guy that we got? Plumgatner? Plumgatzer?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, no.
What was he?
The international kid.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Well, we're not going to carry 2 fullbacks, so you can expect one of them to go. You know, Jordan Chun, he's gone. He's a running back. We got a couple. Yeah, we have some dudes that I haven't heard of at running back. We got about 4 running backs you can get rid of.
But then the thing is, when you get down to around 70 people on the roster, it gets really hard in terms of who do you cut.
Yeah. We're going to have some serious, serious decisions at linebacker, cornerback.
I'm pulling up the depth chart right now. So in terms of wide receiver room, which we said there's 12 wide receivers. All right. David Sills, gone. CJ Board, gone. Derek Dillon, gone. Alex Bachman, gone. Now, CJ Board, I get that they may want to keep him for special teams. But, I mean, that still leaves Darius Slay and Dante Pettis, Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, John Ross, Kadarius Toney, and Austin Max, 7 wide receivers.
Yeah, and I even see Mac as a potential casualty, and if not Pettis, I think you could easily put one of those two guys, if not two.
I think they're going to try and maybe keep one of them around possibly for special teams, but yeah, I agree with that, Tino. At this point, you can't cut anybody on the offensive line, can you?
No.
I mean, it doesn't really matter who they are. Let's see.
I mean, you might be getting by with Kenny Wiggins.
Tight ends. I mean, honestly, it's such a large tight end.
Guys, by the way, random thought, but I did want to talk about it since we're talking offensive line. I also, this was my takeaway. I guess this is just how deep we are into Giants football. But seeing all their moves, I'm like, okay, I guess we're going to see a lot of Zach Fulton this year. Like, I just feel it. Like, and we talked about the depth of this offensive line and how we've lucked out. We always mention Harrison. I think we're going to see a lot more Zach Fulton than we have not spoken Zach Fulton's name on this podcast probably at all, if not enough, since he signed with this team. I think he's definitely going to play a factor with this team this season for sure. He's going to have to if one guy goes down.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've been thrashing our boy Frank the Tank about Fulton for a couple weeks now, and I took some time this weekend, looked into his PFF stuff. He's highly serviceable, man. He's no worse than Fleming was last year. So if he comes in and wins the job, whatever, dude.
He's also at the guard position, which also makes him a lot easier to hide with those vulnerabilities. Also.
Yeah, especially at right guard, too. But I just can't get over the fact that any left tackle that plays next to Will Hernandez always sucks.
Also, not for nothing, he did have some time at center. Says here he started 15 games at center for Kansas City in 2017. But
that's
12 games. Yep. Left and right guard he's played and center with Kansas City in 2017. So he does fit a need on the interior, which we were looking for. I mean, versatile offensive lineman. He's going to get reps. He's definitely going to get playing time. I mean, he's going to have to, guys. There's just no one else. There's no one else, and I don't believe in Lemieux and Hernandez enough, nor do I fully believe that our offensive line is going to stay that intact again this season. I'm not putting no voodoo on us. It's just like 16 games up and down with no issues. I think Thomas might have been our only issue last year, and even then it was very minor. So we talked about it. Offensive line, man, it takes one play to change the entire shift of it. So we're going to need these depth guys, and I think Fulton's probably the next man up.
So I want to ask y'all something. Who do y'all believe took the biggest hit on offense this weekend? I know Tino's answer. What's Mage's answer?
What do you mean on offense in terms of what?
Just from a value standpoint, who do you think has more uphill battle today than last Thursday?
On the offense?
Just from a – I mean, you add Kadarius, so obviously that puts a dent in there. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Slayton. There's been a lot of talk about Shep. There's been a lot of talk about Ingram.
For me, it comes to this diversified skill set. I kind of see where the Giants are going in terms of adding more speed, they're looking to add speed. Sterling Shepard, man. I hate to say it, but I think I have to.
I get it. But after Shep, who's our route runner?
Shep is more of a possession receiver, though.
He's shown he can do a little bit of everything. Anybody on the offense, he's probably going to be, or on our wide receiver core right now, he's probably most polished route runner.
Fellas, completely random, but which quarterback would you rather hear in this draft, in my rookie draft? Do we go Zach Wilson, who I've talked more shit about than anybody? Or actually, that's a lie. It's basically the two quarterbacks I've talked the most shit about. It's Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. Gotta go
with the answer. Right,
Mac?
Fuck yeah, Mac. It's time with a goat.
It's Mac? Mage.
Zach for me. Zach.
Zach and Mac. Okay. All right.
And the reason why I'm saying Zach is because I like the fact that they have Michael LaFleur there. It's not Adam Gase any longer. Mac Jones isn't going to start right away. I think they're probably going to ease him in. So
I do need a quarterback with more of a chance to potentially start immediately. Like, I'd have to throw him out.
You may be 1 year away at least. They still have to develop Mac Jones into being an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Zach's starting week one. So if you want. value for your pick for immediately.
It's just Etienne and Chaser on the board here. I really don't need receivers, and I honestly am decent enough at running back that, like, I got to go quarterback here. Quarterback's got to be the pick.
Can we talk about the dynasty community?
Well, hold on. We're not done yet. Stop.
Okay, we won't go to the dynasty community. Can we talk about people bashing Urban Meyer for wanting Kadarius Toney when he has Laviska Shenault? Laviska is nothing like Toney.
We're just talking about something completely different.
I know.
And now we're on a completely different topic. We went into players
that
were
cut. Because he said at me, and I'm fucking scatterbrained.
We went into players that were cut, and you derailed that segment. I have no idea what the fuck we're
This is my fault. I shouldn't have asked a question. It's just I wanted to get the pick in. This is my fault.
But I'm not even sure what the last question was.
The last question was, what wide receiver slash bitch tight end?
Yes. All right. So can we finish talking about that?
Yes.
Tino, who has the biggest uphill battle according to you on this
offense? Whoever is playing outside the other numbers, whoever. Evan Engram, Darius Slayton, whoever. They're under the most pressure for sure. Because
the most pressure, or do they have the uphill battle?
The uphill battle, either. However you want to look at it, they have the most pressure to perform because they're very one-dimensional to where they could be on the field. Obviously, Galladay is the same point.
So is it Shepard or is it Slayton? Or is it Engram?
It's got to be it's Engram or Slayton, and I think it's more Engram in terms of when you look at what Ingram's been getting the last 2 years in terms of his target and volumes on the team. But Slayton might easily work his way out of the offense if they try to work him in early on in the season on downfield throws again, and he just doesn't exceed on those opportunities.
But Murph's question was, what did the Giants do in this draft that presented an uphill battle with somebody on this roster? So how does Evan Engram – how does what the Giants did in the draft affect Evan Engram?
Well, because so Tony's going to be utilized mainly through anything in the slot, which would essentially you'd think hurt Shep, but Shep is when he's on the field is a more sure-handed guy that we have. Plus, has had time at the numbers.
Not with Tony.
What's up?
Not with Tony anymore.
Yeah, well,
I mean, Shep has shown that wherever you tell him to go, he's going to go play and he's going to perform.
I like Shepard.
No, I know. I'm not saying you don't. And look,
with John Ross too.
Danny's safety valve. He goes to Shepard whenever he's in trouble.
Yep. Whoever
has to really take that away, but
Mage, look, I'm just saying the guy who's most linked to those outside the numbers throws in Engram and Slayton, those downfield stuff, they're gonna hurt the most because I do think as much as we're gonna air it out, most of those deep air yards are gonna go to Kenny Galladay. I don't see them really going to those guys on the outside right-hand numbers. Well, I mean, I guess Galladay's going to play. He could play right. It doesn't matter. But point being, I really don't see those going to Engram as much as they did last year. And I do see more often that they're going to try to do it to Slayton, but it's a matter of if he catches it or not. That's the issue.
See, but here's where I disagree from what I see the Giants are building. Obviously, Kenny Galladay is who he is, but Kenny Galladay has speed. I'm not going to say that he doesn't. You want to keep a guy that is also a burner, John Ross, Darius Slayton, or Kadarius Toney, outside the numbers as well. What it seems to me they want to do is they want to stretch the field. They want to allow everything to work underneath and use those deep routes, et cetera. If you got a guy like Saquon Barkley, that does so much for that run game. It does so much for the offensive line. When suddenly you take all those people in the box and you drive them back, because of the speed on the outside.
But to that point, Mitch, where I'm at with it, though, is that those outside the numbers guys, they're very dart, straight go routes down the field. Galladay is going to be the guy if we're doing any of that stuff. I do like what you're saying, and you're right. Tony's going to get down the field stuff. I think we're going to do a lot of down the field plays where our outside guy is going to cross face and we can run like a fade or send Tony outside from the slot to the numbers and carry it up the sideline, make a big play that way. I just think the Giants special the last 2 years on how we were going to attempt to throw the ball downfield was literally just go routes. There's no creativity to it. And I think it's going to change this year. I think when it gets very one-dimensional like that, the balls are going to go to Galladay. And I think the guys who hurt on that are the guys who have proven to really only be good in those one-dimensional settings, a la Engram and Slayton. I just feel like they haven't shown to me the last couple of years that they could really succeed doing anything else other than that.
See, but that's my whole thing, though, is that the guy opposite Kenny Galladay doesn't have to necessarily catch a ball if they fill a certain, you know, role on this team. which is, again, that stretch field, right? You need to stretch the corner, stretch your safeties. When you talk about having Saquon Barkley on the field, you talk about having Kadarius Toney on the field, you almost have to go with a cover two, right? You need two safeties out back. You assume that one is going to slide over or provide zone protection up top to make sure that they cover one side of the field with Kenny Galladay. If you have a guy like John Ross simply running go routes, you got one-on-one coverage with a cornerback who runs a 4-5 versus John Ross. You got to almost provide safety help on the other side, don't you?
I mean, sure. Yeah.
So now you take four of the 11 players and you stretch them out this way. You take the top off the defense, and then you got seven players lined up somewhere in the middle of the field with Saquon Barkley, Kadarius Toney, and you probably got four rushing.
Well, I mean, so, you're right, but now the only –
that's where I think with Shepard, I don't think Shepard necessarily fills that role in which what they were looking for with that additional speed. I still like him. I think he's a safety blanket. I think he's more of a shorthanded receiver, but can he play outside the numbers?
I think he's proven, and I think they've asked him to do it in years past, and that's why I actually like it's a no-brainer and confidence for me. And his route runnings are crisp enough. See, and that's the thing with Toney, though. People are knocking him for his route running, and I think he's going to be a very shallow drag slant receiver, which fits this offense even better. That's what I actually like about it. I like that his footwork's on point in in between the box on those short routes, and that's the Jason Garrett special. So I love that Tony's going to get all that underneath stuff. But yeah, I mean, to your point, I could see where Shep finds himself being the odd man out, and all the, you know, Shep haters this past off season could continue to burn their pitchforks and, you know, hope he leaves New York. But I don't know. I think Shepard will have an easier time adjusting to try to do more on the outside of the numbers if he had to than those other two guys would be. To find a way to do something on this team other than what they've been doing in years past. I mean, Slayton to me probably has the most to prove. I mean, Shepard's over Ingram. Also, I shit talk Ingram a lot. Obviously, he'd be easier because they're going to start him, you know, at the line. They're going to play him as a tight end. I say he's most successful out of the numbers, but that's, you know, when they use him there. He's going to be a tight end. I think Slayton out of either of them would definitely have his, you know, the work cut out for him the most.
Shep is also the second highest paid receiver on this team, is he not?
Yeah, easily. Receiver, for sure. But Shep's not going anywhere, man. I don't care what anyone says. He'll get a restructured contract. He'll be a Giant until he leaves the NFL. I know people think that that was the writing on the wall this weekend. In my opinion, it's not. But maybe I'm just a homer. If he stays healthy, I don't see him getting cut next year.
No. Actually, I think he's a Giant for life.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Sterling Shepard right now is the highest paid wide receiver on this team because of the contract that they worked out with Gallagher.
Yeah. They're probably going to redo it. And he'll happily say yes. Unless we go 3-10.
So, Murph, what is your question that you're going to wait to ask regarding the fantasy football community?
Well, first of all, I want to actually kind of apologize to the fantasy community, because it's not actually the fantasy community that's a bunch of dickheads. It's the Dynasty Analytic fucking community. So
you're soft.
Me?
You're soft.
I'm soft?
Soft.
Okay, fuck the fantasy community. Fuck them all. I don't give a shit. I was just trying to be a nice guy because you have a fucking fantasy show and some of my friends have fantasy shows. So I was just trying to be a nice guy, but fuck them all. Shit. Huh?
Apologize. That's you don't do that.
Well, so yeah, let's talk about this. So let's talk about them thrashing Urban Meyer's comments about his heart getting broken about Kadarius not being there at his pick. And they're thrashing Urban Meyer to start, saying that Kadarius Toney is the same exact player as Laviska Shenault, which one is just not even close to being accurate. But I mean, you know the drill, Mish?
Oh, you're done.
I'm exhausted. I'm sick of people not understanding the state of the Giants, man. Like, you can sit there and say that.
Here's my biggest problem with the fantasy analytics side of the sport is – so many times, and I've seen it firsthand. Look, I started out in the fantasy community on Twitter before my fandom for the Giants really kind of led me in this direction. But I see it time and time again. I see people who haven't played the sport of football, doesn't understand what certain plays are, sit here and critique skill sets of other players. And for me, I mean, that's troublesome. We have people in the analytics community, let's call it that, that are sitting here and saying that they are better at their job than front office personnel of an NFL team. I'm sorry. Look, there are a lot of people like the Eagles, Howie Roseman, right? Somebody brought up Matt Millen earlier. There are a lot of people that are bad at their job, but they're also in their job for a specific reason, because at some point they were either knowledgeable about the sport, played it, have some sort of experience. The analogy that I had was, you're remodeling your house. Do you want a licensed contractor? Or do you want a guy who said, yeah, I watched a YouTube video once on how to do this? That's the equivalent of an NFL front office versus the Twitter fantasy analytic guy, right? It's like, you never really played a sport. You look at a bunch of numbers and you're trying to tell us how it's going to translate based on actual data that you've collected. Look, the data doesn't state shit. I'll say this, David, I forget his name on Twitter, he put out something today that said Kadarius Toney had a grade of a D. He said it was the worst first-round grade he's ever given to a wide receiver. Murph, you say this all the time with analytics. It can tell any story that you want it to tell. So he came up with this formula or whatever it is.
Z-scores, Z-jobs and Z-scores.
Right. So, I mean, for determining it, so – and one of the things was, oh, shit, I forget. I've kind of texted to you guys, but
it had to do with the college production, games played, and, like, something to do with snaps taken at the position, which Tina already covered.
Went on with measuring yards per pass attempt for in a college career. But a guy like Kadarius Toney, who was a converted running back into a wide receiver, that's why he only has the 1 year of production. So if you're going to measure him over the 3 or 4 years that he played, you're not going to get a good score based on that. So my counter argument to him was, then why don't you use minimum snap count as a qualifier? That would probably get spit out a better measurable. And he even agreed. He's like, you're right. Kadarius Toney's probably at a disadvantage because of this. So then how are we going to sit here and say, well, Kadarius Toney is a grade D for a first round. It's the worst I've ever issued for. Well, it's not a fair assessment. Meanwhile, he has a RAS score of like 9.72, because that's how his athleticism jumps off the charts.
Well, it all comes back to their fantasy, Nash. I mean, I don't even know how you could literally sit here and be, one, a football player, a football fan, and two, a fantasy player, and say that he's wide receiver 14. I mean, it's not even like you're saying he's wide receiver 8 when he might be like 6. You're saying wide receiver fucking 14.
First of all, from a football perspective, if you want to put Rashad Bateman over Kadarius Toney and say that Rashad Bateman is the better skill player, I have no argument.
Go ahead. You can say Kadarius is 7-8.
Perspective. If you want to tell me that you prefer Rashad Bateman in Baltimore over Kadarius Toney, I might have a problem with that, because Baltimore is where wide receivers go to die.
Kadarius would be perfect for that offense, honestly. But aside from that, it's just like I just can't fathom it from anybody who's seen the Giants play over the – well, mainly just last year, but different offense. But if you watch any Giants football last year, you can tell exactly why Kadarius was the pick. Separation, skill set, physical, special teams. It reeks Giants. I mean, we had nobody on this team that could create separation at all in the passing game. And then we take a guy with elite, literally probably his best trait, separation. And then you're going to sit here and say he's a compliment player. He's a punt. The fucking kid was telling us he's a punt returner, saying the Giants drafted a punt returner at 20. But it would have been okay if the Bears had done it. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What's the knowledge there? I don't get it, because this is a team that needs playmakers. Our GM, our owner, and everybody in the, under the sun all knew that we were getting playmakers over this offseason. And here we go. We address them in both the offseason free agency and then in the draft. And then you're still going to sit there and like just say that he's not going to be a valuable pick. Sure, maybe he's not going to light the world on in fantasy, but honestly, dude, he's probably a fucking perfect fantasy pick. He's going to get receptions, rush yards, punt returns, all of it. So I just don't understand it. You can hate it all you want. You can hate Gettleman all you want. But at the end of the day, I think that's what it really kind of ties back to, Nage. Like, the shots at the end of the conversation were just like, have fun rooting for Gettleman. And that's where it always goes, because people legit think they're smarter when they're making $10 an hour and Gettleman's a multimillionaire in his Cape Cod condo.
Well, there were people that actually said that. Like, yeah, I'm smarter.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
That was my biggest problem with it. Is like, Tino plays fantasy football. You play fantasy football. We all do. I mean, it's okay to have an opinion. Yeah, I think this guy's going to maybe stink. Look, I said about Lamar Jackson last year. I said, I'm not buying Lamar Jackson this year. I don't believe a man is a passer. I think he's on his way down in terms of fantasy. Would I want Lamar Jackson on my team? Yeah, I think he's a hell of a football player. Do I want him in fantasy? No, I don't. It's just a big difference. And to be able to explain why, or at least say, here's my opinion, but I don't sit here and say, well, you know what? Yeah, my model is probably better than what your GM does. Like, get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah, like, dude, go kick fucking rocks, man. Like, I don't get it, dude. But that's always the Giants' way. This is the yearly event. After the draft, we get shredded, and, you know, we'll see how it turns out. And well, the best part about it, Maj, is during all of our conversations with it, not once did you or I jerk Tony off. We literally talked about the situation of the franchise and the roster. I'm not sold on Tony. I think he's going to be great, but I'm not sold on him by any means. I don't think he's going to be rookie of the year. Hope he is, but, like,
we talked about it earlier.
You and I didn't sit there and say, like, no, you're wrong. We picked the right player. We literally just tried to explain the situation.
We talked about it early in this podcast. We were sitting on the board at 20. I certainly didn't think that Tony was going to be the pick. I said I thought we were going Quiddy Pay. If we were going wide receiver, I thought we'd at least go Bateman. Tino said the same thing. He thought that Quiddy Pay was the pick. I mean, Tino, what do you think about the analytics nerds out here on Twitter?
I don't care for them. Dave doesn't care for them. I don't care for them. I did want to talk about, though, you did address special teams. And again, he's not a straight up punt returner. But initially, when I looked at this, I was like, damn, like, what are the team needs here? Does this fit a need? It actually really does. People forget special teams is a third of football. I know they've done everything to take it out of the game in terms of kickoffs and making it safer. But the fact of the matter is, we were not very good at special teams last year. Fucked us in field position all the time. And Tony moves, I think his kickoffs, he had over 24 per kick return, and I think he's over 10 on a punt return, yards per, you know, return. Pretty damn good. Helps us in field position. He's a spark. He can score at any time when the ball is in his hands, and it's a player we needed for an offense that's super stagnant and probably will still continue to be stagnant. Like, I don't see Tony, like, and I've told you guys this, my issues and my concerns with Garrett wasn't going to change regardless what offensive player we picked in this draft. I'm still worried it's going to be the same old bullshit stagnant offense, even getting downfield players. But when you have guys like Golladay and Barkley running the ball, and you got Tony that can score in the blink of an eye out of nothing, it helps having those guys. You want more of those guys and less of those guys. And if your offense is not going to get it out of its own way, if you got playmakers like that, it's only going to help it, you know, over the long haul, especially when we rank dead, you know, not dead last, but second to last, you know, in scoring per game. I still feel this offense needs to get us 21 points, 3 touchdowns, and we can win more games than we lose this season. We can fucking finish with 10 wins if we can score 21 points a game. 22, if I'll get really dangerous. 22. Because I really believe in this defense, but I'm still reserved on it, guys. I'm reserved in it, but I do like that he helps special teams and he's going to be a dynamic player for us. Again, I'm not completely sold, but I can buy it.
Man, I think that's fair.
Are you playing him on special teams? Because if he's one of our starting wide receivers, I don't want him anywhere near special teams.
See, but I'm I I'm the opposite. We were ready because I told you Adoree. I want Adoree Jackson playing special teams. I want one of those guys. I want one of them. And maybe now that, you know, well, we got more corners, they can play Adoree more on special teams.
You might be a little young for this, but Jason Sehorn haunts me. I don't want any of our starters returning.
I am too young for that then. And for sure, way too young for that.
I mean, Jason Sehorn was, I mean, he was the great white hope. He was an amazing cornerback. Amazing. Fucking lost him to a stupid return. And he was never the same since.
I don't think that's the cards.
What?
I don't think that's the cards for Tony. I think he takes a couple early ones, but I think that's John Ross's job, man.
And I think, though, but like the only reason I mentioned, though, the special teams is because it's going to be a way early on, especially as a rookie, to get the ball in his hands. That's all they're going to try to do. I mean, the name of the game for Tony early on is going to be how many ways can we get this guy the ball in his hands, even without going downfield? It's going to be the name of the game for him. Give him the ball behind the line of scrimmage. Give him the ball in special teams. Find ways to get unique with this kid because he's a unique talent, man. Like, why limit him? You should try to find ways to get him the ball as much as possible.
Hey, look,
I mean, I see no reason why not.
Our special teams hasn't been good for quite some time. So, I mean, if he can help out there, fine. But then again, I don't know. Do you kind of take a guy like Tony off the field in favor of a Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard? Then you're back to a similar offense that you ran last year, just adding Saquon Barkley.
My thing is, like, I always think of receivers too, though. Like, I mean, the ones I remember, I know Odell did it. Dez definitely did it. Like, early on in their rookie years, there's no shame in guys going back and getting punt returns. Punt returns is like bullets firing, but the kickoff is all the way out of the game. So punt's all he's really got. And most of the time, they're still going to fair catch. But I'd rather get a guy back there that has a chance to do it than not. And honestly, we talked about it. We have a crowded receiver room already anyways. Like, it's probably the easiest way to make sure we can get everyone's mouth fed while also still giving Tony opportunities. So that's why I'm not against it. And I don't think this is going to be a long-term thing. I think it's going to be just a way to ease him into the offense. But early on, hell yeah. Give him every opportunity. I know it's PTSD, and we don't want to see anyone out there potentially getting hurt. But I think when you got this guy's speed and don't get tackled the way he does, I want him to have the ball in open space as much as fucking possible. So however you got to do it, get him the ball. But yeah. Was that the clown of the week, by the way, the analytics nerds?
Basically.
Okay.
Yes.
Just no
the music. Entire Dynasty analytic community.
It was. We didn't fully call a clown of the week, but they are the clown of the week.
Congratulations.
Murph has just derailed this entire episode. So I'm
always.
Not even, I'm sorry. What was that, Murph? Again.
Always.
I do feel like, though, we've hit most of the topics we did want to talk about, though. It got derailed, really, but I think we hit a lot.
We want to talk about Ojulari. We want to talk about Ellison Smith. We want to talk about Aaron Robinson. We basically got through the first round, and we liked the Ojulari pick, so.
Yep. I mean, what is there not to
like? Talk some A-Rob.
Tune in next week to find out what Mange has to say. So. All right. Any closing arguments, boys? Tino?
Azeez bends the corner on the defensive line better than anyone I've seen as a prospect in recent memory. I was excited for us to even potentially take him at fucking 11. We took him at 50. It's highway robbery. David Gettleman showed his testicles to everybody in the NFL this week by gaining a first round pick, trading back twice, trading up just because he fucking can, and still managed to get value out of all of it. Fuck the free world. Let's go, Giants.
No one bends better than Murph when I tell him to, so. Murph, closing arguments?
My back hurts from that. You know, I wanted to bring this up earlier, Dig. Love Joe Judge. His interview today was awesome on WFAN. Sounded like Danny played with a pretty big injury last year. So kind of excites me a little bit.
I don't want to hear about it. Fucking weep, because both of you jumped on my fucking ass when I told you guys that this was a multi-week injury. So I don't want to fucking hear it.
I'll eat that crow happily, but kind of makes me feel a little bit better because gives us some a little bit more hope too. So
Also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe we even had a future med student on here that said that the injury wouldn't last more than a week.
Lord, you've had a night. You and Kapizzle got your juices all flowing tonight.
The pizzle.
Fo-shizzle.
You want to give your new friend a shout out?
Yeah, go check Kapizzle's channel on YouTube, all right?
Is it Kapizzle or Kopizzle?
It's
Kapizzle.
Kapizzle? Majizzle.
Kapizzle. Yeah, Mage Mizzle was on tonight, so.
Mizzle.
Yeah, I was on his stream today, but yeah, I saw that too, Murph. I'm actually glad that you brought that up because you know what? A lot of you told me, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I had the hamstring injury that Danny did. You just don't come back from that shit. No surprise that he was less than 90%. Surprised though that he played through it the way he did. Some tenacity by the kid. Anything else, Murph, you'd like to discuss?
I hate you, Mish. That's about it.
I know that's not true. So I love you. I love Tino. That's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love.